Okay, I got scriptures tonight that this is from Mark chapter 9. We'll probably finish up the chapter tonight. We left off with, remember when that little boy got healed and the way he needed to be delivered? We're going to start with verse number 30. But the little boy that got healed, and the healing couldn't come when the disciples had not learned to become strong in prayer and denying themselves. Now, Jesus could do it. Thank God you bring them to Jesus. But listen, there's a message in here for us who want to reach out and touch somebody. Somebody says, I don't like that message. It sounds like that, you know, if I'm not strong in prayer, then they're not going to get healed. Why don't you turn it around and say it the other way? If I get strong in prayer, somebody's going to get healed. See, don't dwell on the other side of that. Won't you just get motivated and say, boy, if he says this kind cometh out by nothing except prayer and fasting, and see, and they couldn't do it. What's that mean? They weren't people of prayer and fasting. But he was giving them hope. Amen. And the days to come, they would see those kind of deliverances. All right. Now, the verses I'm going to share with you tonight are not, they're different than what Mark has been. Mark's been rapid fire, miracle after miracle, deliverance and healing and multiplying food. And we got all those wonderful things going on. And now Jesus, he's going to spend a little personal time with the disciples, like I'm trying to do with you tonight. And he wants to see them grow and change. He wants to see them get his heart. And so he's going to talk to them about things that maybe they really don't want to hear and don't want to talk about. You'll notice this when we get started here. Are you ready? So starting with verse number 30. Then they departed from there, and they passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, see, this is private time. He taught his disciples and he said to them, guys, listen, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men. Now, you know what their idea of a king and a Messiah and the deliverer was? I mean, come in on the white horse. Let's take the city. Let's set up kingdom. You get a big throne up here. I'll have a little throne right next to you. And, you know, the harem's over here and the feasts and all the good food's over here. And, you know, that was their idea of kingdom. That's a lot of people's idea of what victory is. But Jesus is telling them, he says, guys, listen, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of men and they're going to kill me. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. Now, he was giving them the good news right here. But listen to the next verse. It says, but they did not understand this saying, and they weren't interested in talking about it. and they were afraid to ask him about it. You know, if he'd have said, listen, guys, I'm getting ready to come into my kingdom, and you all are going to get a big portion. You think they would have had any questions? Oh, I think they would have. I think he said, how much? What exactly am I going to get? Yeah. You know? You mean, where's my part? Yeah. Right. I mean, I think they'd had a lot of questions. But he says, look, guys, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of evil men, and I'm going to have to lay down my life. But thank God, God's going to raise me up on the third day. And they didn't understand it, and they wasn't really interested in that time about talking about it and getting the answers to that. So they just let that sit. Now watch. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them. Because, see, whenever he asks you a question, has anybody got the idea that maybe he already knows the answer? Why do you think he would ask you the question then? If God already knows the answer to the question that he's asking you, why would he be asking you the question, do you think? He wants you to know. You know, we need to come to grips with some things, don't we? All right, watch. He says, I heard you all talking out there the other night. He says, what was it that you were disputing about among yourselves there on the road? So they's having a little argument. I don't know if some of their voices got raised a little bit, but he heard them discussing something, and the word is disputing something. So, but they kept silent. There they did again. See that? There's some things they don't want to talk about. Have you noticed that sometimes we don't want to talk about some things? Now watch. Thank God those walls can come down. In John chapter 3, I don't know if you remember, but right after it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Listen, don't worry about it. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. But it says that some people wouldn't come to him into that light because they didn't want their deeds to be brought into the open. So they wanted to keep things hid. I just think it's the season for us to come to him. If you feel weak, I think it's okay to tell him, Lord, I'm weak, so that he can answer you. I'll be your strength. I'm confused. It's all right. I'm with you. I'm going to help you. Some of you need to receive that help. And instead of staying hidden, Lord, I have this problem. It keeps showing up. I'm tired of battling it. I know I'm here to help you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to see you through this. Well, anyway, they weren't interested in talking about this either when he said, so they kept silent. What were you guys arguing about there on the road? And they kept silent because on the road, what they were disputing among themselves about was who would be the greatest. Now, why do you think they wanted to keep silent about that? I want you, why? Go ahead. Yeah, because what? See, she says they would be embarrassed to know, for him to know that they were having those kind of, she called them bad thoughts. See, I'm telling you, in your deep knower, you know everybody, you got a deep knower, what you know down deep. I wonder how many things that we allow and participate in right now that aren't in our deep knower. You know what I'm talking about? And Jesus said, so he already knew that they had been talking about who was going to be the greatest. And so something inside you is going to witness. Don't worry about stuff like that. All right, so, and he sat down and he called the 12. So he's going to address it anyway, even though they didn't want to talk about it. Get ready for this in your life. He's going to address things you don't want to talk about. It says, you'll be silent. See, in the first thing there, it said that they didn't understand the saying, and so they was afraid to ask him, so they just let it go. The next thing says, but they kept silent because they didn't want to be exposed, you know. But he sat down and he started talking to him about it, and he says, guys, listen, if anyone desires to be first, because see, that's what they was disputing about. Everybody wants to be first, don't you? Do you remember being in class and the teacher asked the question and you got the answer? You knew the answer. And you just didn't lay back in the seat and just, oh, let somebody else answer. I know the answer. Up goes the hand, you know.
Actually, it's lining up. You want to be the first one in line.
And lining up. There's a teacher. See, the teachers, know. Okay, it's recess time. Right there. First in line. Who's going to be the leader? Lunchtime. I'm up for lunch. Who's going to be the leader? And they battle to get in and to be first. Now watch. This is, there's just a reversal in the kingdom of God, the way he does things. You know, we've talked about this before, so I just want you to get used to it, though. And remember how the Beatitudes are all just seem to be opposite. Blessed are the hungry, they're the ones that get filled. Blessed are those that mourn, they wind up getting comforted. And all right, watch. He took him aside and he says, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. See what they were disputing about? About being first. Who's going to have the most, you think? Who's going to have the greatest place? Who's going to be, you know, what did you score, 88? Oh, I scored 90. And then even if you didn't talk about it, you just thought to yourself, well, I'm a little sharper than they are. Isn't it wonderful that the one who was the sharpest of all laid down his life, said, let me help you? Yeah. Amen. So then he took a little child. Does everybody understand something about being the servant? He says the greatest of all will be the servant of all. It might come in last. I saw a video the other night where, you know, I know it's common. I've seen this several times, but they showed it again where they were running a race. I think it was really a race. Anyway, last leg of the race, and one of them was out here, and they were going neck and neck, these two racers, and somehow foot got twisted up, and the one fell. Have you seen the video? Do you know what I'm talking? You know what I'm going to say now? And the other one could have said, home free. And you know what she did? She stopped. Went back, picked her up like this, and helped her get to the finish line. And when they got to the finish line, pushed her ahead. Does that sound like anybody? Willing to take second place. This way, spoken about Jesus says, look not every man on his own things, but on the things of others. It's that spirit of humility. Humility isn't thinking lowly of yourself. It's thinking greatly about how you can help somebody. How you can, first management class. By the way, Mr. Zike's dad, some of you know, I was a store opener for the Grandview Woolco store. Woolco was F.W. Woolworth. And I was a store opener that opened up that store. His dad was the last store manager of that store and was an F.W. Woolworth guy. Anyway, while I was working for Woolworth, one of the management training classes was, you want to be great? This is what they taught us. They said, you want to be great? You're a division manager, or you're an assistant store manager. This is what you do. You see that guy that's working next to you or working right above you? Push him up. You need to go ask him, what can I do to help you get up in that next rung? And then apply all your strength. Not to get you up, but to get him up, get him promoted. By the way, when he gets promoted, there's an opening. It says, and while you're doing that with this hand, I remember the teacher, it was a guy named Joel Janowick, teaching us this class. He said, with your left hand, you're pushing this guy up, and with your right hand, you're pulling this guy up. It says, this guy, see, I'm not trying to take his place. I want him to be moving up. And this guy, I'm pulling up. So with one hand, you're moving this guy up, and the one that's you think is right down here, you're pulling him up. To be the servant of all is to be the greatest of all. Well, amen. I told you this story too, and so I won't dwell on it much, but the sweet, dear lady, Blanche Eden is her name. Sister, we called, in the old days, we called everybody brother and sister. And so she was Sister Eden in the church that I grew up in. She was a white-haired lady, been a widow for a long time. She was so old that, she didn't have Social Security because her husband worked for the railroad. I don't know what that means. Railroad retirement, and it was in the old days. And anyway, it was a real minuscule. After he had been gone for a long time, she was living on a little, just a real minuscule portion of a retirement check from him, and didn't have a Social Security income, and so the church people would help her, you know, and she was always real grateful, but she would serve everybody in the church. She'd come in every week and go into my boss's name was Ralph Houghton, and she would go in. She'd clean his office. Empty the trash can, dust everything in there, move his books, and dust everything underneath him. And she would be, and then when we would worship, she would just have her both of her hands up the whole time we would be worshiping the Lord, and just the sweetest spirit. And now, see what I'm telling you from the outside. She looked. This is a widow, a low income widow. She lived in a one-room tenement apartment in a place called Silver City in Argentine, Kansas. You know where Silver City was, yeah. And she just, it didn't look like she had much. And Brother Houghton, one time when he was teaching, he said, some of you are going to be so surprised when we get to heaven, because you know that reversal I was talking to you about, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. He said, I don't know if this was God or not. He says, I think it might have been. He said, I'm kind of hoping it wasn't. But he said, I had the thought that one of these days you're going to be dusting her apartment. One of these days, you know, she couldn't afford a car. One of these days, see, there's a reversal. She was last here. Well, I'm just saying, are you willing to be last here in order to be first in the kingdom? Are you willing to not have it be so much about you and let it be about them in order to have the favor of God on you? And so you can just mark down that those who are serving the most in the sight of God are the greatest. Remember that lady when it comes to offering? The one that writes down, that writes the big check. I mean, thank God for the big checks. Got to have them. But listen, God sees the heart. And the lady with the two mites, Jesus walks by and he says, you know, somebody was had it. And they were just thinking the thought. And he knew their thoughts. He says, well, she's even wasting her time putting that in there. And he just answered real quick and said, she gave more than you did. She gave the greatest. She gave the most. Amen. All right, praise God. Let's do another 5 minutes and we'll get out of here. So listen to what he did then. He took this little child and he set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, this is what I was talking about, why I had Nick and Ashley and Nova and Alex in my heart. I just, can't you see? You want to be like Jesus? Said he took these little children, he took this little child. When he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. You want the fullness of God? Make room for somebody else. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. All right. Verse 38. Next little lesson. You see, we're going to have a number of little lessons right here. And I said that this isn't the miracle stuff, but I think this is the stuff that makes way for miracles. Did you hear what I'm saying tonight? These are the attitudinal things that change our lives and open up the door for the flowing of the Holy Spirit, preferring others, denying yourself, being the servant of all. Amen. Now watch this. So John answered him. Doesn't sound like it's amazing what people hear. What question did Jesus ask here? He was just telling him, be the servant of all and make room for other people. And something popped into John's head because he had an opinion about people that he had seen before. How many of you got some opinions about other people that, I mean, don't you? We all do, don't we? Yeah. And some of them might be right opinions. Some of them might be not so right opinions. Even if they're right opinions, I think it'd be all right to lay them down and not let them get in the way, so that we can be obedient to the Holy Spirit when he moves upon us. Listen to this. So John answered him and he said, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us. See, this is Jesus with his disciples. They had their group. How many of you got your group? One way or another, don't you? We are in our little group here tonight, don't we? So, it says, we saw someone who doesn't follow us casting out demons in your name. So we forbade him. So don't do that. You can't. What are you doing? We forbade him because he doesn't follow us. What's another way of saying he doesn't follow us? He's not in our group. How about this? He doesn't do it our way. Huh?
He's not one of us.
He's not one of us, yeah. Not in our circle. Okay, come on, all of you. I don't want to be, got to watch here what I'm saying. We don't want to be bigoted and biased and narrow-minded and think that God has got to do it your way, do you? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just get soft enough, said, okay, God, any way you want. I don't care. You know, the Lord chooses the people he's going to use, and they turn out to be. Now, I always get too personal, and then I say things that I shouldn't probably. But I had a brother that's 160 IQ, and I was having trouble hitting 100. And he's brilliant, and thank God, and I love all that. But thank God it's not based on that. Did you know it? By the way, just to show you something, I think Bill Gothard taught this, was the first one I heard say it. He said you can change your, you know, they don't think you can change your IQ. They used to be part of psychology that you can't change your IQ. And Bill Gothard started teaching by memorizing the Word of God, because thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and the entrance of the Word of God brings light. And he taught that, and he had several cases. Well, I did it. I won't tell you what I'm at now. It's none of your business. But I'm not in the high 90s anymore. And it wasn't because, see, it's aptitude. And it changed because of the entrance of the Word of God. And I started to be able to understand things that I couldn't understand with my intellect. I could understand them through my spirit. Anyway. They said, they was casting out demons. And he said, we forbade him because he wasn't following us. And Jesus said this. So so you get the point. Since we're a church group, how many church groups are you aware of and you're just sure that they're doing it wrong? Everybody but us, right? Because that's church mentality. We push more people away and we exclude more people. And I've got born, I remember I was part of a Pentecostal, closed-minded, fundamentalist, Bible-believing, strict Bible-believing church. And we thought that we was doing it the right way. We knew how to raise our hands. We knew how to clap in church. We was glad. We thought those, if you didn't clap in church and raise your hands, that you wasn't having church. And so we thought, half my family was Baptist. And so my family all grew up thinking all those Baptist people are the cold people. The Baptist people were out winning souls for Jesus and going on visitations. And we was part of the group over here. And we was just glad we was clapping and raising our hands. Well, see, there's room for both, isn't there? And I remember in one of our services, the first time we had we experienced a wave of revival, renewal, and a Catholic priest came in on one Sunday night, and he just seemed to enter into the service. The next week he came, and two nuns came with him in their habits. On the third week they came in, the nuns started dancing in the back of the church and spinning around. Their habits, their gowns just standing out. Just, and people turned around and looked at them. And we was kind of like, we can do that. What are you doing that for? You're Catholic. You know? I mean, we have a right to do that because we've learned about it. And here you come in and you just kind of jump in and act like you got it. You remember the house of Cornelius? Anybody remember? Peter went to the house of Cornelius and because how he got there, the Lord opened heaven and let a tablecloth come down that was covered with food that was unlawful for anybody to eat. And Peter said, and the Lord said, eat, Peter. And Peter said, no, I wouldn't do that. You know, because that's against the rules. That's not part of our group. We've got training against that. And he said, I want you to go to the house of Cornelius. He says, no, I'm preaching to the Jews. I want you to go to the house of Cornelius. And he went to the house of Cornelius. And he said, all right, I guess you're a merciful God. You'll save anybody, won't you? God could have said, yeah, I saved you, didn't I? So he said, I'll go. And he went. And when he got there, he just started to teach him about who Jesus was, and they burst out speaking in other tongues and were filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, I didn't think you were saved. How can you be doing that? See, it's our mentality sometimes. Give people the benefit of the doubt. They may not see it your way and do it your way. God's a big God. He's got lots of ways. I keep remembering this one song says, there's room at the cross for you. See, you see it different than I do, but there's room at the cross for you. Your family did it different than my family, but there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for Polly. There's room at the cross for Jim. He made room for us. And so anyway, that's what Jesus says. They said, we forbade him. And Jesus says, don't do that. Do not forbid him. For no one who does a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. See, give him room to grow. For he who is not against us is on our side. And whoever, so don't be against people. Don't be against people. For whoever gives you, listen to this, for whoever will give you a cup of cold water, a drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Well, amen. Maybe it's enough for tonight. I told we'd try to stop by 8 o'clock or so. I wanted to finish the chapter, but the next time we'll finish the chapter probably. Well, praise God. I just think that I started to tell you, we have a built-in prejudice against you mean name names? We don't have to, I guess, do we? But they probably have the same built-in prejudice against us. I wonder what it would be if we just melt down, flow together. What can you agree on? It said, when two or three of you get together, bring out the three or four things that you're going to disagree about. Don't do that. See what you can agree on. In the spirit of agreement. Unity and harmony in the body of Christ. There's some things, you know, that we don't move on. Jesus Christ is God's Son. He came, shed his blood for us so that we could have eternal life. Amen. You know, it doesn't say he who speaks in tongues is a child of God. It says he who believes that Jesus is God's Son is God's child. That's how you know you're born again. So we can agree on some things, can't we? Amen. And that's what we stand together on. Then God can, if he gives you some special stuff and some good stuff, that's wonderful. But don't let it bring pride and cause you to exclude somebody else. If you have more, give more. If you have more, love more. If you have more, serve more. If you have more, then make more room for other people that don't. Amen. All right, praise God. Me too.
The best place I've ever been. But I could tell that he wasn't interested in anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. And you can understand why, because of what they're, the way, what, however your appetite's been whetted, you know, and it's going to, sometimes it takes a breaking down to find out that what we thought was important is not so important, doesn't it? And, yeah. Yep. Yeah, praise God. Well, amen. I think what we just shared, the few little principles that we shared tonight, if you want to be the greatest of all, serve people. Move to the last, don't be the first. Make room for other people. Don't exclude them. I believe God, you want to hear a miracle? How many of you believe God could use me? Isn't that miraculous? Do you know he knew all about me when he chose me? And he still did it. Amen. Go figure out. Only on a, don't you want to be like him? So you can look somebody in the eye and say, why, you were a low-down scumbag from wherever. And look, I just am believing that God's got his hand on you. And the sky's the limit. Look what God can do. Amen.
I always thought I was so bad that I believed that God could save everybody else, but not me.
Yeah.
And you had a teaching a couple of weeks ago. I don't even know if it was had anything to do with that, but that's what I got out of.
Praise
it.
God.
It's for me too.
Amen. Yeah.
We all have something different that came out of what you told us.
I hope so. That means good feeding. Praise God. That's the Holy Spirit feeding his people. Praise God. All right, let's finish with prayer. Father, we just thank you tonight for things that we can learn, that we can have our lives adjusted so that we can release the good gift of God that's in us. Lord, the one that I've invited into my heart is the one who served and did it so joyfully and so happily. The one that I invited into my heart is the one who would come and say, I want to spend time with you, knowing how I was. Lord, we just want to learn to be like that. I'm so glad, Lord, that you didn't draw a little circle and say, if you get everything right, you can come be in this with me. But you drew a big enough circle that it even included me. I'm so glad, Lord, you didn't say, if you'll do everything just according to the letter, then maybe you can get in. But you tore the veil in half. And you said, here's my presence, come in. And now we, God, Paul, who was a Christian killer, says, now I can come boldly into the very presence of God and receive grace and help for my need. Father, help us to be like you, we pray. Conform us to you. Flow out of our lives and make us a blessing. Amen. I pray tonight for Ben. Lord, we pray for you. that you'll continue to get strong. We pray for your body. Agree with me here for Jim, will you? Father, we pray tonight for Jim Sykes, for you to continue to bless him and keep him, cause your face to shine upon him, bring him peace in his innermost being. Thank you for forgiving his sin, writing his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord, now we stand, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And don't forget God's benefits of knowing our sins are forgiven and you paid a price for our healing. We release our faith and pray for him tonight. We come into agreement, Lord, for his continued healing day after day. I pray this thing, Lord, on the inside would shrink. I pray, Lord, that doctors and nurses and those who are ministering the medicine that he's taking would work. And I pray, Lord, that the body of Christ would surround him and he'd be strengthened day after day, and that which is not of you would diminish and that which is of you would increase, and the glory of the Lord would shine out of him in every way. Praise God. I pray for you tonight. Pray for Jackie tonight. Pray for Polly tonight. Pray for Nick and Ashley, and pray for Kim and Nancy tonight, and for Earlene. Well, we pray for David tonight and Marilyn. We bless Carol tonight, Lord, for her faithfulness and Lord, the work, wonderful work that you've done in them. Lord, for Judith tonight as she starts at Millbrook next week, Lord, that you'd make her a blessing. Lord, let her take that place of being the servant of all, of drawing a big circle to include everyone. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, thank you for coming tonight. Vote for Ben. Oh, I think we started with him.
Yeah.
She's looking out for you, Ben.